Hey, welcome to number nine, podcast number nine. It's 50 minutes with Carl Zahn. He's Dominic Zahn, my 18-year-old son, taking up the sports side here on the weekly podcast. And he is Mike Clark, owner and head chef here at Clark Creative Studios in Amherst, New Hampshire. What's happening, guys?
I need to get my coffee.
You want some of mine?
No, I don't know who your mouth is, Ben.
Well, I drink, I've been drinking this coffee for about 3 hours. I'm one of those guys, just sip away on a cold, disgusting cup of coffee. You're wired anyways, you told me, because you just got back from doing sound for, what's the musical, Oklahoma? Is that what you said?
Yeah, it's old Rodgers and Hammerstein. It's like one
of those
classics.
I know what the play is.
Oh. See, I never saw it until I started doing the production for it.
Really?
Not my favorite. It's
well,
okay.
Probably
but
not.
It's a little too old
school. I can't
for
say
me.
I've even ever seen it, but I know what it is. Dominic, what's happening with you?
Oh, nothing. Just wrapping up Spirit Week this week. It's always a good week.
Dom had sent me out on a wild goose chase this week to find a kooky Hawaiian shirt.
I thought that I
knew I had one from years ago. You know how guys wear the button-up Hawaiian shirt like a muumuu? Because it kind of...
Do they have a name for the Milford Spirit Week? Because at Sauhegan, they call it Fang Fest.
Yeah, we just call it Spirit Week.
Oh.
We're not as cool.
Not as cool.
Yeah.
No.
Fang Fest.
So what does Spirit Week entail? I've kind of forgotten.
Well, we do the themes for each day. We always end with Blue and White Day. But today we started this new thing. We always have a hypnotist come in, hypnotize some students.
Oh, yeah, I got some kind of missive from the high school because, you know, these days they have to tell parents about every single thing that happens in case for some reason you don't want your child to be exposed to a hypnotist. But we let you go.
Yeah, I even got hypnotized today.
Did you?
It was interesting, yeah.
Did you feel like it was effective? I mean, did you really?
Yeah, you feel so relaxed, so you don't really care what's going on, even though you're...
But did you ever really lose track of, like, who you are or where you are or...
No, not really. More of you lose track of time. No.
See, feels like you've been up there. I don't need to be hypnotized to give a shit. So,
do you remember, Mike, the time years ago I hypnotized you with a shiny pendant?
Yeah. I felt a little violated after that. I don't know what the hell happened.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever got around to telling you what I had you do.
Funny story about hypnotism, though. I've been working on a series in the studio for a hypnotist. He's doing a bunch of, like, you know, tapes he's going to sell
and
whatnot.
Let's promote someone else's podcast.
Yeah, I won't give you the guy's name, but my wife was concerned I was going to get hypnotized while I was in here. And funny thing, we did a Saturday morning, and I came in from the session, and my pants were on inside out. Now, okay, it didn't happen during the hypnotic session.
Sure.
I actually went out to the studio with my pants on inside out, and she's like, what the hell just happened?
You know, it's funny, because when you first said that, I was thinking, why would your wife be worried about you getting hypnotized? And now I realize any guy who puts his pants on inside out.
And that's a true story.
It would, well, so, of course it is. Why would you make something like that
up? I know, it's so ridiculous.
Yeah. So hypnotist at school, how was that? Pretty fun?
Yeah, it's a fun time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good.
Yeah, they didn't make you do anything
dirty. No, not too crazy.
Yeah.
He's careful with his wording.
See,
you know.
Now that I would take advantage of that because you could do all kinds of crazy shit and blame it on the hypnosis.
Yeah.
There's some famous Boston comedian that's been doing that for years, right? The R-rated hypnotist. You've seen him, right? You've seen his ad. What the heck? I can't think of his name now.
Carl the Magnificent?
No, it's not me. I don't do hypnosis during my act. Although sometimes I notice the crowd nodding off, but I don't think it's because of me. Waving a...
That's not true. Carl's a great comedian. Very funny.
I'm never happy like all comedians. We had a good night there, though, Saturday night for the Kim Cates thing. And
fantastic.
Like I told you, the Keller Williams crowd showed up 6:30, had rented a coach bus.
So they were a little intoxicated, were they?
Shit-faced.
Nice.
Yeah, they showed up at 6:30.
That makes for a good audience.
Yeah,
though.
Most of them were completely lit. They had Jello shots and all kinds of other
good
things
for them.
Going.
Oh, yeah. Right up front.
Too. Right up front, yeah. And we put them right up front. So, yeah, it was a good time. Dominic was there helping out and raised a bunch of money for Kim Cates Fund. So we had a good time there. Do you guys want to talk a little sports out of the gate, as we usually do?
We could talk sports tradition. For the whole show.
Well, that's
so much going on this week in football.
Dom, lay it out there, man.
I mean, we'll go with, I guess, running backs, because that seems to be the big position going around. We got big name players going everywhere.
Yeah, it's DeMarco Murray. I mean, yeah. Dallas lost them. What? They're so stupid.
Oh, he stayed in the division, too.
I know.
That's a killer for me, but...
Yeah.
The Eagles' O-line is nowhere near as good, and I don't think he'll put up the same numbers.
Yeah, Dallas has, I think, the best offensive line in football
now. And then Cowboys replace him with Darren McFadden, who, I mean, he averages 600 yards a year.
Really? I don't even know the name. Where'd he come from?
Raiders.
That's why I don't know his name.
Yeah, exactly.
The Raiders are never in it, so. But Patriots Nation is in a deep dock depression all week.
Well, they got Scott Chandler today. He's a good tight end.
Yeah, I mean, but
good
we lost,
backup tight
they
end.
Got rid of Revis and Browner. I mean, come on.
Yeah, their secondary is going to be weak.
Yeah, they don't draft well in the secondary. I mean, if you look at their past, you know, track record, they don't draft
gonna
well.
Going to make Geno Smith look like an all-star this year, those two games.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was just listening to the radio on my way to the studio this afternoon. They were saying Reggie Bush was in town today.
I heard that.
Yeah, so...
As the Giants picked up Shane Vereen, which
he probably wanted too much money.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah, no,
he's
no
a good
big deal.
Receiving back, but I think he'll just be on the third downs.
Yeah, they use him sporadically.
Yeah,
you know. So, but yeah, I'm amazed by all the movement in the NFL for this early.
And
you know,
Ndamukong Suh gets $60 million guaranteed. Could end up with what I think it was $115 million.
Miami's defense was good before they had him.
Oh,
so
their D-line is stellar.
Yeah,
plus
fantastic.
You got Brent Grimes back there, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, all kinds of movement.
And then
going on.
Buffalo has a pretty good defense, too.
Patriots should worry
this
year.
If the Patriots don't fix their O-line, they're going to have issues.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And they're going to forget about it, knowing how bad their secondary is. They're going to go for that.
I don't know. You know, it amazes me. Why would the Patriots? I mean, they have a Super Bowl winning team, and they just let it get dismantled immediately.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, what are they winning? They want to wait another 10 years to win another Super Bowl. Brady's not going to be around.
No.
You know, I would go right away and try to win another one with the next 2 years.
You have to.
Yeah. So I don't know what they're doing.
I mean, Brady wants to play till he's 40, which you know is realistic for him. But I mean,
yeah, if they keep him protected,
you just took apart the whole. Defense, pretty much.
Yeah, and that was their Achilles heel for the past 10 years.
Yeah,
was their defense. You know.
But yeah, exactly.
We'll see what happens. The Bruins are starting to win a little bit too, which is good.
Starting to scrape for a playoff spot.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we're lined up. We would get the 8 seed and take on the Canadiens first round, and I actually like that.
Oh no!
I like that.
I think though, I'd rather have Tampa Bay and let someone else try to eliminate the Canadiens.
Yeah, but a rivalry gets you going. I really,
boy, that's right. That's a big challenge right out of the gate.
It is though.
You know, let someone else try to manhandle the Canadiens. At least maybe injure some of the guys or something before you have to face them.
Oh yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I have to argue that point with you, Dom. I don't know.
Yeah, I can see both sides.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah. Being from Milford, and of course, playing against Sauhegan, you were waiting all week just to get out there.
Yeah, yeah. Of
those are always the fun ones. Those are the best games.
Yeah,
rivalry games.
I mean, because it makes you. You know, you raise your level of play to a certain extent when you're playing.
Plus now with social media, people
talking
crap
trash
the whole week. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah,
no
it's
doubt.
Great.
Yep. Cool. What are you doing over there, Carl?
I was scratching my head. Is that what you're referring to? Did that get picked up in the mic? Or?
No.
Well, let's just
looked over.
Yeah.
How about now?
You just want to? We can talk sports the whole time, and you can go out and get your nails done.
I
or something.
I can clearly see that you two can talk sports.
There was a lot going on this week.
Yeah, crazy for this early.
Definitely
in the
craziest off season in a while.
It's kind of fun though. That's what makes football cool. You know, to me, baseball's so boring. They'll keep the same players over and over.
Baseball.
And over
I mean, Will Ferrell got in 5 games.
Did you see that?
Yeah, that was
hilarious.
Yeah, that was fun.
Great.
Yeah,
he's a great guy.
He's out of his mind.
Yeah,
you know,
love Will Ferrell.
Yeah. What did he do? I saw they had like 8 different baseball cards with him in different uniforms.
Yeah, he got in on 5 different games at 10 different positions, playing all over the place.
Yeah, for charity. I think it was for a cancer thing.
Yeah, it makes spring training a little bit more interesting.
They had some hilarious clips of him in the dugout talking to like all these all-star players. He goes, oh yeah, I think I already signed up for rotator cuff surgery.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, he's beautiful.
Great. Yeah. Beautiful cat. That was fun. How about these Japanese wrestler? I see like New Japan mixed martial arts, or that goofy fighting they do where they dress up in the costumes and the silly bathing suits.
You're not talking sumo.
It's not sumo. It's like they call it New Japan something, right?
Japan's always doing some weird stuff.
Yeah, that's what I wondered if you guys had followed that at all.
Have you ever listened to Japanese pop music? It's just it's the weirdest stuff I've ever heard in my life. It's crazy.
It sounds like wild animals being attacked or something, doesn't
it? But we're Americans. We don't care what they're saying. We just, if it sounds good, we listen to it.
Yeah, if it's got a cool beat, man.
What was that, the Gangnam Style a couple of years ago?
He's from South Korea.
Nobody knows what he's saying, but I mean, it sounded catchy at the time.
I always think of like Yoko Ono's first album.
That
kind of sound, you know?
Squirrel. I don't know. That sounded like someone strangling a parrot to me. I don't know. Or maybe sawing a trumpet in half. I don't know.
Sawing a parrot? Is that what you said?
Strangling a parrot.
Oh, strangling a parrot.
Yeah.
Sounds like a euphemism for choking the chicken or something. You know what I mean? Strangling the
parrot.
It
could be, I guess. Maybe that's where I got it.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, it's 50 Minutes, a weekly podcast with Carl Zahn. He's Dominic Zahn. Dom and Mike Clark sitting in. The three of us are doing this every week now. This is number 9. You can learn more about my comedy appearances, and you can download the podcast and listen at your leisure at Carl, K-A-R-L, from NH.com. You can also contact us there through the website. Hoping to set up a Skype line here and get some interviews and some stuff like that going as we get settled into the groove here. Are we settling into a groove? I think we are.
I have so much fun doing the show.
Yeah.
Because we can just freestyle, you know?
We're starting to get into a little
groove. The handful of people that are listening regularly are giving me good feedback, positive feedback. Seem to think it's getting a little better each
week. Always good.
So, yeah, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Main thing is just promoting it and getting it out there.
Yeah, that's where we fall down.
Sit
in here.
Devastating news from Ringling Brothers, the famed circus performers. By 2018, we'll be phasing out the elephants as part of their act.
Darn.
Oh, no.
You know what? You guys can joke about it, but circus without elephants, kind of like a movie without popcorn.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Sex without a partner.
Why are they getting rid of the elephants? Is it too expensive?
Golf without a golf club.
Well, it's not quite that severe, but... What's wrong with the elephants?
Well, what do you think, Mike? Come on.
Too expensive to feed?
No, come on. Guess again.
They're dangerous.
They're endangered.
It's not PC anymore.
There you go. Thank you. I can't believe it took you 3 tries to get that. Of course, it's terrible for the elephant. The Save the Elephants crowd has finally caught up with Ringling Brothers. I'm willing to bet you if elephants could talk, and of course they do in a way, what do you think is better, groveling around in a small puddle of mud in Africa and hoping that you don't get your nuts chewed off by a lion or a tiger, or the luxury of traveling with a high-end Ringling Brothers circus? In other words, what's better for an elephant, rock star or lion food?
I'm sure they're extremely well taken care of.
Yeah. Of course they are. Have you ever seen the elephants, really, in Ringling Brothers Circus? Yeah. They're happy.
They're awesome.
Look at them. Yeah. They're happy, right? You remember seeing the Ringling Brothers, right? They jump over the little things. They got peanuts all the time.
That's a shame, you know.
It really is. It sucks. This woman says they own 43 elephants and been a staple, of course, of the circus industry for, at least 100 years. And... naturally, the Save the Elephant and It's Too Cruel to Elephants people finally caught up with Ringling Brothers. I'm wondering what's next.
What would
clowns
be next? Why?
Cruel to people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If you're going anywhere, it's trapeze artists. I mean, that's where I would go.
Dom makes a pretty salient point there, right? Thank you, Dom. See,
no
he's
problem.
Quick on the draw.
He is.
You know? Yeah. They're worried about elephants, and meanwhile, these freaking trapeze people are falling. Probably you lose 2 or 3 every year in a circus.
Well, remember that incident with all the girls? They were like swinging from their ponytails.
Oh,
they were
swinging from their hair. Yeah, a whole bunch of them.
Yeah,
fell
and the whole thing
once.
Collapsed. Yeah, they're lucky someone wasn't killed doing that, man.
Well, let's be honest. Isn't that what... It's like car racing. Isn't that what you're hoping for in the trapeze?
Sure, you want to see a train wreck.
Sure, you want to see someone slip or they miss the grab or something like that. Yeah. But you never wish that for the elephants.
Yeah, then you go, oh, that was horrible, but you can't turn away. You just keep watching it loop, you know?
It's funny how humans are, right? We hope for tragedy for humans. Yeah, that's a good point. Is it? We hope for tragedy for humans, but the elephants, we would feel terrible if one like slipped off a stool and twisted a ankle or something. It's funny they have those commercials on TV for that breathing disorder, and they show the guys, oh, I can't breathe, and then they back off with the camera, they pan out, and you see that he's got an elephant sitting on him. Have you seen that TV ad?
No.
For COPD or something?
No,
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's...
no elephants, real elephants.
Well, they use it as an analogy for some disease that you're supposed to feel like, and I always think, well, you can't breathe because there's an elephant sitting on you.
Well, I'm not going to the circus anymore. Fuck that.
Yeah, Ringling Brothers, end of an era, no more elephants. I'm sure that will be followed by no more pony acts, no more lions and tigers. Eventually, they'll get rid of the clowns because that, I mean, look, if being an elephant traveling with a circus is cruel, being a clown traveling with a circus is inhumane as well.
I wouldn't miss the clowns that much. I'm not a huge fan. I keep thinking of John Wayne Gacy when I see clowns.
Yeah, clowns are creepy, like Kramer from Seinfeld, right? Kramer used to be afraid of clowns. Remember that?
They're kind of creepy.
Well, they are kind of creepy.
Yeah.
So
keep the elephants, get rid of the clowns.
It makes you wonder, basically, what's the circus going to be eventually?
Nothing.
You just go.
No.
Yeah.
You just go. You go in. You sit down and you stare at all the stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, there's
waiting for something to happen.
There's the trapeze. You know. There's the clown shoes. Yeah. There's the thing that the elephants used to.
Or it'll probably be virtual. It'll be like holograms of elephants up there.
The virtual circus. So that's it, folks. When it comes to elephants in the circus, think.
I love that sound.
It's over. Believe it or not, of everything we do here, of all the creative genius that is 50 Minutes, the thing that we've gotten the most positive feedback about is that paper ripping noise.
It's my favorite thing on the show.
It's kind of pathetic.
Sure, beats listening to you two guys talk, that's for sure.
I guess it does. Interesting precedent in New Hampshire this week. The first transgender lawmaker in New Hampshire has been charged with a hospital bomb threat, which makes you wonder, maybe what? The operation was... Yeah, some guy who became a woman and held some kind of seat in New Hampshire, elected seat, has just been arrested for placing a bomb threat to a hospital.
Is this a friend of yours, Carl? Or
not since he became a woman.
Oh, okay.
No.
It's where you draw the line?
Well, it's where... Well, I actually draw the line vertically long before it gets to that point. But it makes you wonder, because is it the transgender thing? Like, isn't that supposed to make you happy when you finally become the sexual orientation or gender that you always wanted to be?
I know nothing of it, tell you the truth. I'm pretty secure with my junk.
Yeah, you're happy being a man?
I'm happy with my junk.
Yeah.
It's great having a penis.
Because you would not... You wouldn't make a good chick.
Probably not.
No.
Yeah.
Dom, not either.
No. None of us would really sell it.
I've always thought I'd be kind of hot as a chick. I mean, not so much now with the gray hair and everything. Maybe 20 years ago.
Carl. That's good.
No?
Is that crickets I hear?
Are we going to have one of those long silence things that's becoming a trademark of the podcast?
Yeah, soon it'll be like we'll introduce the show, then it'll be silence for a whole 25
minutes. Seconds of dead air, which is quickly becoming our trademark. Never mind the clock. American healthcare worker, another Ebola case shipped back here to the States down at the National Institute for Health.
They just keep trying to infect us, don't they?
Yeah, they sure do. And, what kind of a show would it be if we didn't talk about Hillary? Hillary.
Hillary.
I mean.
She's a piece of work, isn't she?
How many contradictions can you have before somebody catches up with you? So in the last 10 days, she has said on TV, I only have one email server and one phone. And then she said, I have two phones. I have an iPhone, an iPad,
an Android
phone, and something else. And then she has said that all the emails that she erased were personal and about Chelsea's wedding and stuff between her and Bill. And then Bill comes out and says, I don't email at all. I've sent like two emails in my whole life. I use Twitter. Who uses Twitter to communicate? Have you ever heard that?
No.
Teens.
No.
Right? I mean, the two of these people.
You only get a certain amount of characters.
They're like the Three Stooges, you know? They're like Curly when he's in the big hollowed out radio. Remember that?
Did she claim she...
I haven't seen any bad guys around here. I don't do
Nothing
email.
To see here.
All my emails were to Bill, but I don't do emails. I only have one phone. No, I have two phones. I have four phones.
Did she say she turned over all her emails?
No, she says she's not turning over her emails.
Oh, because some of them are personal?
Oh, well.
We don't need to know about all your yeast infections, so I'm good with that.
I don't know if those were yeast infections, Mike. I wouldn't be so sure. I mean, you know, when your husband is Bill Clinton, I'm not so sure I'd go with the yeast infection.
It could be pretty much anything.
It could be pretty much. It almost surely is anything but a yeast infection. It's just amazing to me that she contradicts. I mean, she's just such an out and out liar. And then when I see her, when she gets defensive like this, it's like the Benghazi thing when she said, what difference does it make? When she gets to be like her snotty, bitchy self, she is so unbecoming and so awful. I can't believe anyone.
No, you know,
likes her.
She can't sell that. Margaret Thatcher could sell that.
Margaret Thatcher was solid.
Yeah, she was solid. She didn't dance around stuff. You know, she was like, this is the way you know.
Yeah, Margaret Thatcher could sell it because she doesn't have the whole background.
Right.
When Hillary Clinton tries to be, you know, Thatcher-esque, shall we call it.
She wishes.
Right. It doesn't carry at all. It just comes off as lying. But we were talking about it before we started recording, and I'm telling you, and I believe this wholeheartedly, it's not going to slow her down a bit. It won't. The people that adore the Clintons and adore her are going to vote for her. They're going to support her. It's just not going to change a thing. I don't know that there's anything that she could do that would thwart her chances at being the next president.
Say it isn't so, please.
Well, the only thing that could happen is, and you know, there's rumors that the Obama administration and Obama's acolytes are behind this whole email thing, that they're trying to destroy her, because I don't think that her and Obama, there's any love lost there. And that's a pretty commonly accepted thing. They're not crazy about each other. But his main problem with her, as I understand it, is she's not liberal enough. She's too centrist for him. And they don't want, and the Obama people don't want her to win.
That's a scary statement, that the Clintons aren't liberal enough for Obama.
Yeah, think about that.
That's frightening.
Yeah, and
you're probably right, though.
And I believe that wholeheartedly.
I do, you know? Too. Yeah.
For our side of the aisle, the conservative side of the aisle, it's kind of uncomfortable watching it almost dismantle before our eyes. I don't see anybody. Do you see anybody that's got it?
There's no one that's grabbed my attention yet, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I'm hoping maybe you run or something, Carl, so we have someone to vote for.
It wouldn't be me, but we certainly need someone. Charismatic is not even the word I'm looking for. We just need someone that's a little bit crazy, that really catches people's attention, but not so crazy that...
Right.
That you can't make it.
We need a new type of conservative, I think.
Well, we need Reagan again. And I know, you know, conservatives always whine about stop bringing up Reagan.
He wasn't that good of a president.
Reagan's dead. It's over. But I've got to tell you, when I watch those documentaries on him and you see this guy speak and you see how he carried himself and how he represented the country around the world with class, I mean, his speeches now... bring tears to my eyes. You know, I see him speaking in Germany about the concentration camps and these eloquent things where he's even getting choked up. And it's not fake. It's not put on. It's real. But I don't see anybody like that. I see it's like that potato head thing I talked about in a few podcasts ago, the Mr. Potato Head candidate. I see little bits and pieces of things I like in a lot of people. You know, Rick Perry, Bobby Jindal, Chris Christie, Scott Walker.
But not the complete.
But I don't see the complete candidate thing. And yeah. I don't see yeah. anyone that can win. And we have to win. I just want the guy that can win this time. And I don't see it yet.
I don't know. If you can't get a conservative to win after Obama's administration, man, they're in deep shit.
Yeah, well, I think we are in deep shit because the country has become overwhelmingly liberal. They're indoctrinated, just like Dominic. You can see how Dominic's been brainwashed in the education system in the country here.
Yeah.
I'm just yanking you, but it is a given.
It's true.
It is a given notion that, you know, the public education system in the country is overwhelmingly liberal, and kids are kind of indoctrinated to that way of thinking.
Oh, yeah.
From grade school on, no question about it. So to be an independent thinker politically and come out of that, you really kind of got to be on your game and look at both sides and try to be willing to realize that maybe you've been sold a bill of goods or maybe there's another point of view. But I don't see that happening. I just see the country kind of falling off the edge to all that stuff, and I don't know.
Well, I think the younger generation, they have this false sense of security, like everything is wonderful in America. Nothing can go wrong, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, I also have to say, I was talking about it with a friend of mine, and while I reminisce now and look at Reagan, when Reagan was president, I was a dopey kid, like young man. I didn't pay any attention to politics. And all I knew about Reagan was that my parents liked him, and that for that reason, he must have been a dork. So while Reagan was president, I thought he was an actor. I thought he was a square, you know.
Yeah, but you knew that Reagan would keep us secure and safe. He would make a decision. Well, look what happened the day he got elected. All that bullshit that was going on with Carter and Iran-Contra and all the hostages.
Oh, yeah. They released him overnight, the night that Reagan was sworn in, because they knew he would kick ass. He was
exactly.
Crazy
so you felt safe
it.
With him as the president.
Yeah, Carter couldn't get it done. You definitely felt safe with Reagan. But I think it was later, when you actually start paying attention to politics and the difference between leaders, that's when he became, a more salient figure to me and someone that you looked at and go, wow, now I know why my parents liked him so much. You know, he was a good president.
Hypothetical situation. What would Obama do if another 9/11 happened right now? What do you think he would, how would he react to that?
I know exactly what he would do.
Nothing, probably.
He would play golf and he would offer his deepest condolences. That's what he does.
Right. Yeah. Apologize.
Yeah. Anytime something happens, or people get, you know, 21 Christians get their heads cut off, well, you know, we extend our deepest condolences for. I mean, that's him.
It's true.
Nobody's, you know, we're
kind of scary.
We're laughable now. On the world stage.
Yeah.
You must see that. You must pay attention enough.
Well, even with 9/11, you know, Bush was in there in 2 months. I mean, he reacted quickly. It might not have been the best decision at the time. But
it's
true,
Dom.
Yeah. He did react quickly.
Yeah, and he was believable, and you always felt like it was the real deal. I mean, really, when I think of Bush standing on that pile of rubble in New York next to that fireman, and they both got tears rolling down their cheeks. That's not a photo op. That's not Bush going, you know, geez, I got to look choked up here now. That's people really heartfelt. And, you know, it's funny, a few weeks ago when Giuliani got in all that heat for saying that Obama doesn't love the country, that he believes that. And, you know, they gave Giuliani so much shit about it. And O'Reilly made a really good point saying that. You got to remember that Rudy Giuliani went to every funeral for every fireman that died in 9/11. Rudy Giuliani spent months in New York doing nothing but going to funerals and consoling family members and all that stuff. So you got to think Giuliani comes from a different place. And speaking of that type of Reagan-esque, that type of kick-ass figure, there's one, Rudy Giuliani.
Whatever happened to him running? I mean,
I haven't heard anything about it, and I don't know why he's not a consideration or why people aren't urging him to do it or why he seems to have no interest in doing it.
Because he did such a fantastic job with New York City.
He did a great job in New York City.
He cleaned up New York, and it looks fantastic.
Yeah, you know, Rudy's
it runs better. And
Rudy's a no-bullshit paisan, you know. He knows how to handle them. He doesn't care where the chips fall. But that whole thing about, you know, Obama not loving the country, and of course they come down on Giuliani. He's the bad guy. You know what? I don't know because you can't know what's in another person's heart. I certainly can't know what President Obama truly thinks, but I think that every indication is there that he thinks the country is, you know, needs a lot of work, not the best place in the world. You know? And like I said at the comedy night, the only thing worse than Obama not loving the country is Biden loving the country too much.
They were talking about him maybe
doing a reach around grabbing Mississippi's ass. You know, Biden, the big.
He's beautiful.
Biden's like the drunk uncle that you kind of hope doesn't come to the family cookout because he always drinks too much and he tips over the potato salad and, you know, he grabs Aunt Mary's tit at the wrong time and stuff like that. He's just that big clueless. He's that big wet Labrador retriever who comes over and shakes off all the water on everybody, you know?
Yeah.
He's kind of lovable, but
not.
But he's annoying at the same time, you know? It's 50 minutes with Carl Zahn, Mike Clark, Dominic Zahn. We're kicking all kinds of stuff around the table here. What was the other? Let me just quiz you guys. Other big news in New Hampshire?
Oh, yes. Decriminalizing marijuana.
Is that, are we?
Yeah.
When's
it's going to pass the House now, but they voted like, you know, overwhelming in favor of decriminalizing pot. We're really the only state in New England that, you know, it still has, you know, we'll put people in jail for having, you know, a couple joints on them, which is so stupid.
Yeah.
So this will come just a few months too late to save me several thousand dollars in legal fees for Dominic's younger brother.
Yeah, so I guess you can have, you know, it'll be like a citation if you can carry up to like a half an ounce or something like that.
In your car? And there's no
just on you.
Just on you?
Yeah, yeah.
What a ridiculous, you know, this is so typical government too, because in Washington, D.C. and all these states, so states have made it legal, but it still remains illegal under the federal law.
Right.
Still remains illegal to buy it, so that means selling it is still illegal unless you're medicinal and you're doing that whole thing. So all it's done, it's so funny. It's like the very people who wrote the laws for legalizing marijuana are stoned themselves because they left so many fucking holes in
it's true.
And contradictions. So someone selling pot, like a dealer, is still a dealer. That's still illegal. And someone buying pot from a dealer, that's still illegal. But if you have a prescription, you can go get it from a vending machine or a doctor, quote unquote. I mean,
well, it was funny. They were speaking to some of the legislators, and some of the old school guys were like, okay, yeah, well, you know, I agree with the law, but we should change the amount that you can carry to a gram instead of a half an ounce. You know, like.
What difference does it even make at that point? You know,
look, I can see that, you don't. You know, Dom shouldn't carry that kilo around with him that he brought to the studio today. But,
yeah.
You know, to me, it's crazy. It's the last thing that the country needs. I understand everyone's thinking on it is that, well, we'll make money on the taxes and we'll control it. This way, we'll control it. This way, we'll do that. We'll do this. I kind of get that whole part of it, but at the same time, it's like, this is not what the country needs. We're not
really
suffering from,
no.
You know, our biggest problem here is not too much initiative, especially with our younger people. And, you know, I just don't understand how this is going to help. And then on top of that, for places like New Hampshire, where it's still, at least today, illegal.
Right.
It makes it difficult where, I mean, I don't know.
You know, again, you know, you don't want to waste too many resources. And, you know, you're really going to put someone in prison for 5 years
this state's ridiculous about it.
Yeah.
You get pulled over for having three kids in the car because they just assume that you're going to go do something.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I really have mixed feelings about it because to me it's one of those things where all things in moderation, and if everybody could follow that simple rule, then you know what? Things wouldn't be that bad. But I've seen up close and personal what happens when you smoke too much pot.
It makes you dopey and it makes you lazy.
Dopey and lazy, right, and your life unravels. So to me, if you're a young kid and you're into that and the mixed message is, well, it's legal in Utah and Colorado, can't be that bad. It's like everything else. If you can't control it, if the tail wags the dog, then indeed it is bad and it is a problem. And
yep.
I don't know. I just see, I look at the country and I go, of all the things that we're worried about or all the things that we could change, this is the one thing that seems to get the most attention. When was the last time you saw any productive legislation or laws passed that actually had something meaningful or something good? You know, it's like the joke I do about, you know, New Hampshire legalizing gay marriage and outlawing helium balloons, you know, because some idiot politician actually passed legislation that, you know, helium balloons were breaking and they were washing ashore and seagulls were choking on the balloons. And I do a bit about it, but really the serious side of it is, this is what our elected officials are fucking voting on, how many helium balloons I can buy at one whack because
yeah, they're spending time on that.
Yeah, because the seagull population, for Christ's sakes, I voted you in. Do something meaningful.
Right. So exactly. Yeah.
God, do something to help the country besides legalize pot and put a limit on how many fucking helium balloons I can buy at once.
So what else is going on in New Hampshire? You were going somewhere with that. I just happened to bring up the pot.
I can't even remember where I was going. You know, you've both made me so upset now.
I know they're voting on maybe putting a couple casinos in New Hampshire. Did you hear about that?
Nice. That's inevitable.
Yeah,
right?
That's going to happen, yeah.
And where's that going to go? Up north, naturally?
Probably right in Milford somewhere.
Well, they always
Keysfield.
They always try to put
Keys
it in the
Field.
Middle of nowhere where it's kind of right. Out of sight, out of mind. Even like Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun, they kind of stick them out in the middle of nowhere, and then you have this whole big city.
Do you ever go to those places?
Only to do comedy.
Yeah, that's the only time I go there if I'm doing a sound job. It's just not my bag.
I've never had any inclination to gamble.
Me neither.
Yeah, and probably a good thing because it's just another addiction. Right?
It is. And I'm rather unlucky. So.
Yeah, I am too. That's the
except
main.
In love.
Well, that goes without saying. Okay. Look, any guy who puts his pants on inside out obviously made some good choices in his personal life.
Maybe I was hypnotized. I don't know.
Who knows? Tick-tock. Speaking of drugs and how much they do for your intellect, in Alliance, Ohio, a man was arrested after he called 911 to report that his wife had stolen his cocaine. 39-year-old Robert Collins of Alliance was charged with two misdemeanor counts alleging improper use of the 911 system and possession of drug paraphernalia. Jail records didn't indicate whether police located the reportedly stolen cocaine or his wife.
Not the sharpest tool in the shed.
No.
Not the worst one that I've ever heard.
No, it's not.
It's
but
pretty
I mean,
dumb, though.
Yeah, it's not like the first time anyone's called 911 to report drugs stolen. It's just kind of, you know.
Well, there was one that was...
But I mean, it makes the case for what we were just talking about, I believe. Yeah. If you noticed what I did there, I kind of brought it around full circle.
Dopey.
You the man.
Yeah, you the man. There you go. That bitch stole my 8-ball. What I like is the different
rhythms.
What's
an 8-ball?
What's the different, you know, the pool ball with, the 8 on it, isn't it, Mike?
I guess I don't know the cocaine lingo. Yeah.
There was one that was called in that.
I guess you don't.
Well, the buyer had called. He turned in his drug dealer because the prices were too high.
Yeah, I think I remember. I think I remember that one too.
That's a good way to get killed.
There you go.
One thing I always love is any kind of organization, any kind of, and it doesn't matter whether you're a building inspector or the sheriff or the president of the United States. It just seems like anytime you give the wrong people too much power, things often go awry. And
tyranny, baby, tyranny.
Such was the case in Missouri, where a homeowners association denied a playhouse for a girl with leukemia. I'm just going to go with it.
Okay. I can't even make a joke about that. That's just...
No, so there you go. A girl with a leukemia, and the homeowners association in the neighborhood where she lives, and her parents had asked for if they could do a special playground, playhouse for her.
And they said no.
And they said no because it did not meet the homeowners association requirements for safety and size and all that. Isn't it unbelievable?
That's crazy.
And yet, another story. See, this is what drives me crazy. People dogs. I'm telling you, people love pets more than they love people. So at the same time that we're telling a young girl with leukemia that, no, you can't have your own playground at your parents' house, a blind therapy dog is winning the hearts of millions. Smiley, a golden retriever born without eyes, was rescued from a puppy mill in 2004 by Joanne George, who runs Training the Canine Way in Ontario, Canada. Training proved tough due to his blindness, but she said his nose and his keen sense of hearing helped him get around. Smiley also bonded with Tyler, a partially deaf Great Dane, who helped show him the ropes. My money is on Smiley and Tyler getting a contract with Disney before the week is up.
Absolutely.
To make their own movie about the blind golden retriever. And
well, what does that look like, a dog with
I may get in that production. I think I'd call it The Blind Leading the Blind.
That's a good one, Don. Well, it looks like Stevie Wonder. That's what it looks like. Dark glasses and a lot of swaying back and forth, right?
Where are you finding these stories?
I can't divulge my sources on these stories. Do I even dare?
People would stop listening.
I'm
showing.
You
just look these up.
No, it's Fox News.
Wow.
Yep. These are real stories.
Crazy.
Yep. I wouldn't betray my listeners with made up shit.
I would.
I know you would. Yeah, I love the story about the dog born with no eyes. I saw a thing on the news last week too, speaking about overdoing it with animals. A hawk that lost its tail in some kind of wildlife encounter.
That's what happens out there.
They actually
it's dangerous.
They made a prosthetic tail for it.
Really?
And actually installed it somehow, because you know they couldn't. Even the wings, it's like an airplane.
It's like a rudder, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a rudder. Yeah. Thank you. And they made a prosthetic tail for this hawk that some news show did a big story on.
Nice.
And,
meanwhile, there's kids out there starving, you know?
Yeah, dogs with no eyes.
Yeah. Do you have a dog?
We have a dog.
Yeah, they've got a little...
I don't like the dog, but we have one.
Well, they have one of those little tiny, movie star dogs.
Yeah, that you kick when no one's looking.
Very nervous, overly excited to see you all the time.
Just, kind of like me.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of like you. It acts a lot like the same way where you are when Dom and I walk in each week.
And I enjoy
it. You jump up and down really rapidly in the same spot.
I enjoy a little doggy style once in a while.
We usually notice a little dampness. A little dampness.
That's the worst part.
Dampness? Gigi,
She's 8 and she still pisses all over the house.
Yeah, Dominic has kind of a problem with the dog.
Being secure in your household. That's what I call that.
Mainly because she more often than not.
Oh, it's always in my room.
It's always in Dominic's room. That's why.
It's never anywhere else.
If you're noticing a little hostility with Dominic and the dog aptly named Gigi, or as we say in French, Gigi.
Gigi. Dom's not a fan, I can tell. Yeah,
nope. Dom is not a fan. Another big news story I saw, and I kind of like this. California is putting on a big push to repeal the welfare queen law. So in California, they're saying leave the welfare queens alone. But in other parts of the country, in fact, in New Hampshire, someone just put forth legislation. And while I was just slamming politicians for never doing anything good, here's one that was doing good, something good. They're pushing legislation to... demand that the EBT, the electronic benefit transfer, basically your welfare card. They said 78% of all EBT benefits are used as cash withdrawals from ATMs.
You can do that?
Yeah, you can do that. Of course you can fucking do that. And so
that's
crazy. Yeah, of course it's crazy. So finally some New Hampshire politician is trying to band people together to repeal that and say you can only use it for food and stuff like that.
Fuel, food.
They've already banned it for because, they were getting used at strip clubs and all kinds of different places. So they've had to constantly rein in where you can use your EBT card. But I was shocked, too, when I read that and I go,
that's crazy.
You got to be kidding me. So you just take your EBT card to an ATM and withdraw cash and get whatever you want with it?
I know where I'm going to the bank after this.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the strip club.
I mean,
it's hard to put a card inside girls' panties, though. Well, it isn't really, but...
Well, no, you just slide it through the slot, right? No, we're still on the air, folks. It's just another podcast moment brought to you by...
I like those moments, though.
Yeah, as long as they don't... As long as the whole show doesn't become that
moment. Yeah, it gives people
moment.
Time to scratch their head. Yeah. But
I always thought with the EBT card at strip clubs, you just slid it through the slot to register. But so here's a typical government thing where they go, okay, you can't use it at strip clubs, you can't use it at liquor stores, you can't use it here, but you can just go get fucking cash with it and then take the cash to a strip club or a liquor store.
Or buy cocaine.
Or buy cocaine, yeah. Right. It's just,
Bitch can steal it.
I don't know. I guess I'm beginning to sound like one of those cranky old guys that works for my money and pays taxes and gets pissed off when people who don't work for their money or pay taxes use it to go get cash and everything else.
You know who's cranky today? I saw this thing on the news this morning.
Who's cranky?
This guy, he bought a $1 million winning lottery ticket, right? Did not know it. So the lottery commission had a film of him.
He missed it by a day or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, they have a film of him buying it. So they tracked him down. And he saw himself on TV, and he lost the ticket.
Ooh.
And it ran out yesterday.
He found, didn't he find it like right after his
time ran out?
Yeah, I think
I think
that's the news story. Did you see that too?
Yeah, yeah.
That sucks. That's a bad day.
Well, I mean, why spend $10 on whatever lottery and not keep it around?
Yeah, you might want to look at it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah, but if you're the type of person spending $10 on a lottery ticket.
That's true.
And by the way, that $10 probably just came out of an ATM with his EBT card.
Good point. Nice tie in there, Carl.
And then he loses it.
Yep.
And didn't he find it like a day after the time ran out to claim it?
Yeah, something like that.
$1 million would buy a lot of cocaine, though.
And by the way, why should there be a time limit on a winning lottery ticket? I mean, I could see like a year or 6 months or something, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I think it goes through the school system, though, which is... Thank you for that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know. Nothing makes sense to me anymore.
No, you okay over there, Carl?
As most of you have probably noticed...
It's a crazy world we live in.
I'm doing great over here. We covered Hillary Clinton. The big news that I was getting to about 15 minutes ago when I said, what was the big news in New Hampshire? And then you, of course, you know, and I understand for you, the big news is the legalization, imminent legalization of small amounts of pot. But what I was getting to was Bill Flynn. Remember Billy Flynn, the Pam Smart murder?
Certainly do.
This is probably before Dominic's time, but years ago, Dominic, a hot teacher, Pam Smart, over at the Seacoast.
She wasn't hot at all.
But she was, come on.
Maybe to a 15-year-old boy.
Well, I don't know. She looked hot to me at the time, but then again, I'm a guy who's sad that elephants aren't going to be at the circus anymore, so that should tell you everything you need to know. So this young kid, she had an affair going with this 16-year-old kid. She somehow convinced him to clip her husband. Isn't that what happened?
Absolutely.
And he wound up shooting the husband. And the reason, if you remember, Mike, that she was pissed about the husband, the divorce, is that he wanted the poodle and the couch.
Right. That order? Or?
Well, I don't know if it was in that order. Maybe the couch was made with poodle fur. I don't remember. I don't remember what it was, but when demanding the couch and a poodle in your divorce settlement is the thing that tips your ex over into having her 16-year-old student/lover clip you in the head as you walk through the door. Anyways, young Bill Flynn, who was 16 at the time, is now getting out on parole or probation eligible.
He is?
Yeah. And during his time in jail, he got married.
To a girl
to the
or
teacher?
A guy?
No, to a girl.
Or to a poodle.
To the teacher?
Yeah, no, not to a teacher. Oh. No. Nice wrapper, a nice callback. There,
I was hoping it was a teacher.
He married a poodle, oddly enough, while he was in jail.
Who just shit on the couch.
And
the whole thing comes full circle.
Well, you know what? Someone was trying to get me to make a joke out of this, and it wasn't you guys. But I said, you know what? I remember feeling bad for this kid because he's 16. You know, when you're 16, you're
crazy.
It's your first time you've seen tits.
Well, you're right. Yeah. Your penis. In person. Your penis is your ruler. Your, well, I don't mean ruler like a measurement device, but I mean, yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Your penis, you know, your penis's wish is your command. So
yeah.
At 16 years old, this
guys do crazy shit.
Yeah, of course.
So get some.
Yeah, of course.
We do. It's crazy.
That's
a little over the top.
We've all done that. Yeah, we've all done that. I mean, there isn't anyone in this room who would.
I'm not going to kill anyone for that. I got Rosie Palm and her five sisters right here. So.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm sure there isn't anyone in this room who would want to admit their worst, you know, most embarrassing endeavor to get a little.
I actually met the Smarts at a wedding. I went to a wedding with them. They're very, very nice people. And this is pretty...
Are you talking about Pam and her husband or like her parents or something?
No, not her parents.
Oh, it would have been his parents.
His parents, right. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I met him at a wedding. They were very nice people. And it was like maybe 6 months after the trial was over too, so it was relatively soon after that. But, you know, I felt that what an awful thing to go through, you know? It's crazy.
Educated? I mean, they're smart?
Yeah, very...
Smart? Smart to smart?
Is that crickets I hear again?
Smart people?
No, they were awesome, though. Very nice people.
Well, an awful thing to go through. So this young kid comes up on probation, on parole. So no big joke there, oddly enough. I just feel bad that he got sucked into that whole thing. I don't know whatever happened to her.
She'll never get out. Great documentary on HBO about that whole case.
Really?
For those who aren't aware of what went on. Because it was a media circus. The whole trial was like a media circus, you know, every day. In Little New Hampshire.
Well, it just goes to show you when a teacher, when you're going in after school for too much extra help, sometimes that's not always a good thing. You go in for a lot of extra help, Don. There's not anything.
Yeah.
It's kind of the homework I want. But
anything you
want
to talk about with Dad over there?
No, I'm good.
Yeah, that's what I figured. funny, when I was a kid, most of my teachers, nothing you'd want to have something going on this
Absolutely
side.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I think the youngest teacher we had was called Thunder Jugs, Mrs. Tanella, and she was...
I remember her.
I think about 102. Do you remember her?
Yeah, was she the phys ed teacher?
Something like that.
Thunder Jugs is a good nickname for a gym teacher.
Well, I'll tell you what, she was a handful, man. She'd whack you with a ruler with a yardstick.
That's when you could actually hit students then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, long before any of those dirty thoughts got into their head. Hey, it's number 9. It's a wrap. It's been 52 minutes, which is 2 minutes over our expected limit.
Not if I edit out those silent
to keep
parts.
Them in.
Yeah, it's about 10 minutes of dead air in here, so maybe we should do another minute. He's Mike Clark. He's Dominic Zahn. I'm Carl Zahn. We'll see you next week because it's been 50 minutes.